You've tuned in to Setting It Straight, bringing you conversations with unique people from the WFCF listening area to set you straight on topics of interest in the First Coast area. And now, your host for Setting It Straight, Flagler College Communication majors Lauren Belcher and Kelly Gibbs.
Hi, this is Setting It Straight, where we discuss hot topics going on in your world. I'm Kelly Gibbs, and today my guest is Melanie Stage, a wildlife rehabilitator here in Florida. Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you.
So, Melanie, tell me about what your job as a wildlife rehabilitator entails.
Okay. Well, it's because we are a private wildlife center that doesn't receive funding from, like, the federal or state government or live in a big place that where you get, you know, lots of money and to hire different people. I do a little bit of everything. I take care of the injured and orphan wildlife. I get the PR together. I get together the fundraisers. I do the newsletter. So I answer the phone. So I do a combination of things. For places that have a lot of funding, they might just have someone answer the phone. Someone else that just does education programs. You know, they have a staff, but we do not have a paid staff. We have two part-time people that help out with cleaning and that sort of thing. But I pretty much run the organization and, you know, do all the paperwork, getting the money in and that sort of thing.
And take care of the animals, too, obviously.
And take care of the animals. I do have help with the morning shift now, but any kind of patient that needs intensive care or a baby that needs to be fed around the clock, I have to do, you know, all that myself. I don't really, you don't want the animal to get too used to too many people.
So you guys run an organization, or is it a website? It's HAWC. Tell the listeners about
that. Okay, well, HAWC stands for Humane Association of Wildlife Care and Education. So there's an E at the end. So you just have to remember HAWC with the E, wildlife.org. So it's pretty easy. Or if you just look up HAWC, tons of stuff comes up with if you put the E on it. And we're a nonprofit, and we have federal and state permits to do wildlife rehabilitation and also endangered species. And then I have separate permits to do, called a possession permit, so I can keep birds of prey that are unreleasable. And we also have turtles and other things to do education programs, because to me, educating the public is very important. People won't do harm if they're more educated. They don't always mean to, like, take a baby bird home and raise it. They don't realize it's been against the law for, like, 40 years.
Yeah, speaking of that, would you like to see change as far as people interacting with wildlife?
Well, I would like to see, for one thing, a lot of the organizations that have money for education only, or, you know, some of the big wildlife groups that get national funding. I would like to see commercials on TV that say things like, don't take disturbed baby birds. You know, it's against the law to take them home. Something that also talks about picking up your trash and show birds and dolphins and turtles tangled on them, you know, and things about how to live with wildlife, because people move somewhere and then they don't want any wildlife in their yard. They want you to come trap everything and remove everything, and they think that birds are going to eat their dogs. I've had so many people think that, like, a hawk is going to run off with their dog or their cat.
And that's not possible?
No, if you had a just-born little tiny chihuahua or something, but, you know, someone's got a normal-sized dog, a bird, you know, they think these birds can lift them up. You know, birds don't weigh very much. Even an eagle only weighs 10 pounds to maybe 13. They can't pick up a 20-pound dog. It's impossible. So most of the people are just ignorant. And then, of course, everyone, you know, wants to kill snakes and also exotic animals. People have these exotic animals for pets, which is not a good idea.
Yeah.
And I think people should watch that Fatal Attraction on Animal Planet that shows what happens to people that have pet leopards and,
yeah, I saw that.
Poisonous snakes for pets. You know, it's not a good idea.
Tell me about the open house benefit you just had on December 5th.
Okay, well, we have memberships for HAWC. We do not get any federal or state funding, even though we have to pay them to do this. And we also have to get food for all these animals. We can't adopt them out or sell them or do things like that, like, you know, dog and cat organizations can. So to become a member, you can give $25 for a single membership or $35 for a family. And you get a personal thank you note with a photograph And then you get to come to open house twice a year. We have a fall one and a spring one. And you get a tour of our wildlife center. You get homemade goodies. You get to see, you know, what we do. You get to see our permanent birds. Like, we have a red-tailed hawk, a red-shouldered hawk, a barred owl, a gray horned owl, a screech owl, a peregrine falcon, and a kestrel. And those are permanent ones. And then we also have river otters and a fox and turtles, flying squirrels, all kinds of things people can see. And then all the patients are put away because our whole thing is to release an animal back in the wild. We're not a zoo. We're not open to the public, except for open house. We put the sick guys or the guys being, you know, that are hurt away, and only have the birds that are out that, you know, can are used for education.
So you only allow people to view the animals two times a year then?
Right. Okay. But I do education programs.
Okay.
Where I come to schools or organizations. Now, they're not free. We can't afford to do them for free. But we bring the trained birds. We'll sit on a glove, and I can walk around and teach people about, like, a lot of people call all hawks chicken hawks, and they're ignorant that hawks are, and birds of prey, are extremely important to our ecosystem. They eat rattlesnakes, they eat rats, they eat things that would, you know, take over if they weren't there. And they also teach people about, you know, recycling and like keeping their dogs on a leash, keeping their cats in the house would be a serious big help, because cats kill millions of critters every year, and it's not because they're hungry, they just like to kill. And I love cats. Mm-hmm. I've got cats, but my cats are in the house 24/7. Mm-hmm. And then people, you know, I'd like to educate people about a little bit about exotics. You know, when people say, oh, I was thinking about getting, you know, a gecko or, you know, a tarantula or something for a pet, I'm like, you know, do you really want this for a pet? Why don't you get like a dog or a cat or a hamster or a parakeet, you know? Because reptiles really aren't that easy to take care of, and most of them wind up dying. People don't know what they're doing, or they get tired of them. Mm-hmm. We have a spur-sized tortoise that's like weighs 75 pounds that someone had gotten, and it started tearing up the yard, so they didn't want it anymore. You know, so people don't realize these small things get big.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do with them? You dump them on somebody, you know. Fortunately, this turtle, you know, tortoise came to us, and we'll take good care of it, but we don't want any more, you know. But, you know, animals aren't disposable, and people, if they get a pet, they should be responsible. And now these are bad times. People are just, you know, it's not easy to be a person, let alone an animal, during these rough times. And with the economy being bad, we're not getting the funds in that we need. We spend about $1,000 every month on dead, you know, mice, rats, and chicks, which we have to buy for the birds of prey. No one hardly gives us fish, so we have to buy fish for the river otters and eagles and other birds we get in. We have to buy nuts and fruit and, you know, a lot of variety of food, because we don't just do birds. We do mammals and reptiles, except for we don't do poisonous snakes or alligators. But we do a lot of turtles, gopher tortoises, box turtles, soft shells, snapping turtles. We get a lot of turtles in and are hit by cars.
So you have like a really wide variety of animals.
Yeah, and then I'm one of the leading river otter people in the country. Mm-hmm. If you go to OtterNet, I'm there. Otters take a year to raise. They stay with their mother, and they have a very complicated life. So you can't just raise one, let it get tame, and then throw it out in the wild. It'll starve to death. So we have adult otters that act as parents. And so once the otter is weaned, we put it out with, we let it gradually get used to the other otters, and then they all get together and they form a family group, so the babies learn how to swim and how to hunt and don't depend on human companionship and get tame. Because if you let them go and they come up to somebody and someone says, oh, isn't that cute? Because they are cute. Otters are really cute. They're going to get bit if they go to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always keep things that are being released wild. We don't let people play with them. We put them with adults of the same species. We keep them away from human contact as much as possible so they don't relate people to food and being a friend.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, this is Setting It Straight, and I'm talking with wildlife rehabilitator Melanie Stage. So, Melanie, you spoke about birds of prey and river otters. Tell me about your personal, passion with birds of prey. Do you fly birds? What do you...
Well, we don't. We only fly birds that are going to be released. Mm-hmm. And we have your manager, Dan, help us because he's been with me for a long time. In fact, he became a falconer after working with us. But our permanent birds usually can't fly. Mm-hmm. They usually either had to have a broken wing. We have two birds that are imprinted that someone illegally had as pets that think they're people, which are really good for education programs, but they can't be let go. But the birds, you know, I keep them till they die. Mm-hmm. So I've had birds to be, you know, for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I just had one bird die last year that I had for 26 years, which
wow.
is a really... It was like way beyond its lifespan. We have a gray fox. We don't take it out, but it helps with baby fox. That fox is almost 20, and they're not even supposed to live anywhere near that long. So our animals get really good care. But we do form an attachment. My birds respect me, and they know me. I know they're not pets, but they know who I am. They know I'm not going to hurt them. And so I have them trained to, like, go in a big dog kennel and then come out and get on my hand and sit on a perch. And so they have a little routine they do, which takes a long time to teach them how to do. But then when I do education programs, my birds are real well behaved. They don't go banging all around or scaring anyone. They sit there, and the kids get to see something they've never seen, or adults get to see a peregrine falcon or whatever. You know, wow, there it is. It's not way up in a tree where I need binoculars, you know. And then they get to appreciate how beautiful they are.
Mm-hmm. So if one wants to get involved with Hawk, you spoke about how you only have a couple of volunteers.
Well,
how would they go about
okay,
that?
Okay, well, first of all, we have to have, a you know, someone 18 or older. We don't really, can't really have kids at our facility because, you know, if someone can stick a finger in an otter cage or leave a door open or something. Mm-hmm. So we want someone that is very responsible. But there's a lot of things people can do, like wildlife gets dropped off at St. John's Vet. And we need people to, like, take it from there, maybe bring it to us or vice versa, take something from our house and take it to the vets. St. John's Vet does all the veterinary work for free. We could not exist without them.
Wow.
Last Thanksgiving, they spent probably at $5,000 surgery on it, the peregrine falcon we got in.
Well, so where can people go for more information?
They can go to our website, which is just hawk with the E, wildlife.org. And we are tax deductible. We have Christmas presents, great CDs, Adopt a Critter.
Oh, yeah. Are there
memberships.
Are there any upcoming events that you can talk
we
about?
We just, we will only have another open house, and we'll have the alligator farm dying on the wild side on May, I think it's the 14th.
Okay. Well, I'm Kelly Gibbs, and this has been Setting It Straight with wildlife rehabilitator Melanie Stage. Thanks for joining me, Melanie.
Thank you.
See you next Thursday.
You've been listening to Setting It Straight with your hosts, Flagler College Communications majors Lauren Belcher and Kelly Gibbs, setting you straight about interesting topics in the First Coast area. Tune in again next Thursday morning at 8:30 for another edition of Setting It Straight, only on 88.5 FM, Flagler College Radio, radio with a reason.